The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Dale Wagner with SacSun and Nathan Kahns with Carroll Broadcasting. Nathan, can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
Senator, appreciate you having us on. Last week, you celebrated the 10th annual National Whistleblower Appreciation Day, I think it was titled. Could you speak to a little bit to your reliance over the course of your career on whistleblowers from the federal government, really any agency, when you're looking at identifying waste, corruption, that type of stuff in the federal
honoring government? Honoring whistleblowers is not a new thing. The Continental Congress, under the Articles of Confederation, before our Constitution was written, they said something about if you know about the waste of taxpayers' money or laws not being followed, you as an employee of the government then need to report it. Now, we haven't had whistleblower protection laws only in the last 50 years. But when you have a big bureaucracy of 2 million plus employees, it's very necessary for people to know that something is wrong, government isn't following the laws, or money is being misspent, for to listen to whistleblowers, because they're right there where rubber meets the road, and they know of wrongdoing, and when they talk about it and expose it, it needs to be listened to. Now, they don't officially become whistleblowers until they actually come to Congress. But the point is, they shouldn't have to come to Congress to get things corrected that where people aren't following the laws. And I think that whistleblowers are central to a lot of the investigations I do. Whistleblowers are patriotic people. Sometimes they're treated by their agency like a skunk at a picnic. They're dishonored, and they shouldn't be. That's why we have whistleblower protection laws when they're treated like that. The whole purpose of it is to make wrongdoing exposed so it can be corrected. This sort of transparency brings accountability. And I would hope that just the whistleblower protection laws and whistleblowers would make sure everybody throughout the government is doing something wrong, because if you are doing something wrong, it's going to be exposed and you're going to be held accountable for it.
Yes, Senator. I'm going to move to the introduction of the Farm Program Integrity Act that you just did. Can you speak a little bit on that and tell us how needed this program or would be, this act would be?
Well, you're talking about foreign ownership of farmland, right?
The Farm Program Integrity Act that puts a hard cap at 250.
$250. Yeah. Well, you understand that I've been trying to get this done for a long time, and I did get it through both houses in the 2015 Farm Bill. Then the conferees didn't like it, and they gutted it. So I don't give up. So what we need to do is make sure that the farm program is, in fact, a safety net, but for medium and small farmers, as opposed to those that farm 10 or 15,000 acres. 10% of the biggest farmers get 70% of the benefits out of the farm program. Now, I don't have anything against big farmers getting bigger, but I don't think we should subsidize them to get bigger or subsidize their paying cash rent that makes it impossible for the small or medium-sized farmers that wants the cash rent farm to be outbid by great big farmers. So this would put a $250,000 cap on what any one family farmer could get from the farm program, targeting to medium and small-sized farmers. This way, we're going to make sure that we don't subsidize big farmers getting bigger, and we're going to target the safety net towards farmers that don't have the economic ability to withstand natural disasters or embargoes or anything that can drive down the price of the commodity. In other words, we want the safety net to be a safety net for farmers who can't ensure their own future.
Hey, Senator, last week, the as I understand it, the AM radio for every vehicle act didn't make it through the Senate Committee on Commerce and is headed for for debate on the Senate floor. Just curious as what any potential obstacles you might see to that legislation passing. I'll admit my bias on that one, working for an AM radio station. But
I think it's pretty popular, and the excuse that you can't have an AM in an electric vehicle because it's got something to do with the operation of the vehicle, and these things can be overcome by the electric vehicle company and not take AM radios out. AM radios are particularly needed for warnings for natural disaster that's coming up on a particular neighborhood. And it's just something that's traditionally been a part of a car for decades and decades. And we don't want industry just willy-nilly depriving the American citizen of that option. And we want them to be to get all the signals they can about natural disasters, and they're more apt to get that on AM radio than any place else.
Yes, Senator, I would like to stay with the electric vehicle topic a little bit there. In terms of how we pay for our road systems in the United States, it's usually through a gas tax. Has the federal government looked at how to continue to fund our roads and stuff with electric, with the prevalence of electric vehicles coming around?
Nothing's been enacted yet. And if you're going to have a user fee or a user pay for the use of the roads, that's about the only way you can do it, through the gas tax. But obviously, if we aren't burning gasoline, you aren't going to be able to support the roads. You got to have a way of supporting roads. And I think a mile tax based upon the computers that are in these cars is about the only way that we have of doing it in the future. Oh, there's a couple other ideas, like putting a big tax on batteries that are in a EV car, things of that nature. But the only thing I think that is really equitable is a mileage tax. Now, that runs into some problems about privacy. Should the government know where you've been driving and how much you've been driving? And those sorts of things. There's some constitutional issues that come up. And I don't know how overriding they are to keep that from becoming a new way of paying for use of the road. But that's the only obstacle I see at this point.
Hey, Senator, last Wednesday, you attended what I think was the third all-Senate briefing on the kind of the emerging issue of artificial intelligence. What are some of the key issues that you see moving forward as kind of AI makes its way into our day-to-day lives? And what role do you see government playing in its oversight implementation moving forward?
Well, there's a lot of movement in Congress to pass some legislation, but I don't believe that it's really gelled into what that legislation should be. You don't want to prevent, be an obstacle to innovation, but yet you want to overcome the insinuation that things in AI could be destructive, violation of intellectual property, violation of our copyright laws, things of that nature. It's pretty comprehensive. And I still don't think that anything is really gelled in Congress of how to handle this situation. So I don't see legislation passing very quickly.
Yes, Senator, like to move to the ag bill that's still currently being worked on. When do you see this actually getting accomplished?
Not until October or November. I'm a little disappointed that it won't be done by September 30th. But if it's done by the end of the year, it'll be done soon enough to make sure that farmers know what the farm program is for 24. If we don't get it done by then, we'll just extend the 2018 Farm Bill for one more year.
I kind of want to circle back a little bit, Senator Grassley, looking at the Farm Program Integrity Act. With that cap of $250,000, just if you'd be able to provide some examples, at least anecdotally anyway, of abuses that you've seen through that system and why the Farm Program Integrity Act is necessary.
No, I'm not pointing to any one particular abuse, except for at least not on the $250,000 cap, or not, which we don't have now, or it's just 10% of the biggest farmers getting 70% of the benefits out of the farm program. Now, within that 10%, I think the example of who's really a farmer, the management of the farm and working the farm, those are very important two things that we want to work into this farm bill, so you're actually a farmer with dirt under your fingernails. You aren't a Wall Street banker that never sees the farm, that can still benefit from the farm program. And that's what we're trying to, that would be the one example of people like that that shouldn't benefit from the farm program. Okay, that's all the time I'm going to have for questions. Thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thank you. Thanks, Senator.
Thank you, Dale and Nathan, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.